and God calls us to repentance. Now, during this time of Rosh Hashanah, one of the key factors of Rosh Hashanah is there are 10 days from here to Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And these are times for reflection, where people cry out to God and ask God to deliver them, and they repent and turn from their wicked ways. And they're called the Days of Awe. Now, for the Jewish believer in Judaism, they do believe that this time is the time that God decides whether you're going to live through the new year. And that's why people cry out and repent and turn. Now, the Word of God says in verse 13, it says, rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and He is merciful, He is slow to anger and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. In other words, while God is busy disciplining, you know, it's like a father and mother giving their child a spank and says, you know, this hurts me than it hurts you. And I'm sure the kid is saying, really? It's my bum that is hot, not yours. This is God saying, listen, repent. I changed my mind about this evil, this thing that's happening to you. He says, repent and see if God will do something when you return and repent. If you leave a blessing behind him. Isn't that amazing? It's like getting spanked and ending up with a candy. going to the doctors and you have they poke you, you know, and give you some inoculation and they hand you candy. yeah. Let this one suit you. Well, God is saying, listen, if you repent and you turn, I'm going to do something. I'm going to leave a blessing in your life. And then it says, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. What is that saying? God is basically saying, listen, I'm going to leave a blessing into your life so that you will have to be able to give. I don't know if you're getting this. I'm going to bless you so that you have the capacity to give, because I see you with all the stuff that's happening in your life. You broke. You've been stripped, but I'm going to leave a blessing so that you have. Somebody say, Lord, forgive me all of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I repent and I thank you that you are blessing me so that I have to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is the Feast of Trumpets. Actually, the Word of God says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify fast and a solemn assembly. In the first verse of Joel, we read these words, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. What is this all about? This particular feast is a feast that scares the devil. Because I do believe and I'm not the only one who believes this, that Jesus, our Lord, is going to come back during this feast. This is when the trumpet is going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive will together be caught up. Amen? So I am certain that the devil is scared witless every time we come to this time. You know, is this the one that is going to come back? Is this the one? Well, may I say something to you? This is the feast that the Lord visits his people. And there is a thing about God's visitation. Hopefully I will get to that point tonight. But when God says in his word that he will visit you, it means that he's going to bring about restoration. He's going to cause your life to turn around for the greater. Amen? So even before I get to that point, let us say, Lord, visit me and cause me by this visitation to prosper and to flourish in every area of my life. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Now, one of the things that we need to have deep within our spirits, I already mentioned it earlier on about repentance, and if you leave a blessing for the meat offering, for the drink offering. This is a feast that God wants you to be able to bring a special offering to him. It's a special time of honoring God and saying, God, I repent and I receive this blessing so that I can be a blessing. And God, in his faithfulness, will minister grace to his congregation. The word of God says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let this be a time of celebration. Praise the Lord. Now, what the Lord has given to us is that this is the year of restoration. Somebody shout restoration. Now, when we think about restoration, we need to consider what kinds of restorations there are in the Word of God. There's all kinds of restoration. But one thing I have learned is that God can make all kinds of promises to us, but until we declare those promises out of our mouths, there is no activation of those promises. Everything in the kingdom is manifested by the confession of our lips. You did not get saved without confession. The passage we just read just before talked about the bride and the bridegroom. Guess what? The bride and the bridegroom, they make a confession to each other. That's how their union is instituted. Your connection to your miracle is in what you say, according to the word of God. Now, so it's important for us to look at how God brings about restoration to us. Let us start by looking at the book of Genesis, chapter 20 and verse 7. See one kind of restoration that God shows us there. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7. This is God, first time the word restore is used. It is used about a family that was torn apart. The wife was in another man's house. And God steps in and he speaks to a man called Abimelech. And he says to Abimelech, "Now, therefore, restore the man his wife." Why did God say that? Sarai was in Abimelech's house because Abraham said, "She's my sister." And so he took her to his house because she was very beautiful. Now, remember that when God spoke to Abraham to leave his father's house, he was already 75, which means that Sarah is 65. And these are some years past since he started that movement. And the king is chasing after a 65-year-old woman. Now, that's interesting. She was beautiful. And he's taking her to his house, and God says, let's take it up from verse 4. He says that Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation?" Because God had chastised him. So I'm going to kill you. Why are you going to kill me? What did I do wrong? You have another man's wife in your house. Now, your wife or your husband may not be in another man's house physically. They could be emotionally. They could be in all kinds of other ways. And God is declaring from this passage of restoration that the wife, or maybe it's the husband, needs to go back home. That whoever has taken a hold of that man or that woman, let that person go. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I believe that during this feast, there are marriages that are going to be healed. People are going to be reconnected that have been emotionally separated, physically separated by anything. The first miracle of restoration had to do with family. May our families be restored in Jesus' mighty name. The first miracle of restoration in the New Testament, when Jesus turned water into wine, had to do with the family. God is interested in families. God is interested in your family. God is interested in my family. God is interested in his family. And his family is the body of Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. We declare restoration to the family of God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. So Abimelech says, "Said he not unto me, she is my sister?" And she herself said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yeah, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me." Huh? I stopped you. It was not because you didn't have the inclination. I stopped you and made sure that you didn't mess around, because messing around with her is messing around with me. That's interesting. That God looks at Sarah and says, that's my daughter. I know she lied. I know Abraham, the husband, lied. And I'm still protecting them in spite of. He says, because of this, I did not allow you. I therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. I was in this. May God protect us from damage in Jesus' mighty name. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning. When he had that dream, he acted immediately and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were so afraid. Oh my, how close did we get to messing up? Megaly. And Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Abraham is afraid that they're going to kill him to get his wife. But that is the furthest thing from the mind of the man. Because he's saying, listen, I didn't have that intention. Why did you think this about me? How many times have we thought evil of people, made prejudiced statements, acted prejudicially towards them, and said, oh, this person is not going to ever accept the Lord. This person, they're just mean and wicked. They will never serve the Lord. We look at our city sometimes and we say, it's a wicked city. The people are this and the people are that. And we've not even given them the opportunity to hear the gospel, to make the decision that they need to make. It is not for us to judge people, prejudge them, and call them names, but give them an opportunity to connect with the love of God and experience that love that brings about restoration. Praise the Lord. So the first restoration had to do with the family. In Genesis chapter 40 and verse 13. Genesis chapter 40 and verse 13. It is the restoration of a position. Joseph is interpreting the dream of a baker and a butler. These were those that the Pharaoh was upset with and wanted them dead. He wanted to just wipe them off. But they were in prison awaiting that final judgment. And they had dreams. And Joseph comes alongside and he interprets the dream. And he says in Genesis 40 and verse 13, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. In other words, where you were supposed to be, where you've been assigned to be, that you were removed from, you're going to be placed back there within 3 days. Praise the Lord. So this is a restoration of position, a restoration of authority, a restoration of relationship. And I believe that in this year, God is going to bring us to that place of divine restoration in our status, bring us into that place of restoration in our place of intimacy and relationship, bring us back into that place that we have been deprived of, because God will expose the lies that got us removed from our rightful place. Because the Bible says that butler was restored back to that place of high-level intimacy to be a cupbearer. But the baker died. Because fault was found in him. What was his fault? Maybe it was that he decided to make up a dream. Because he heard the dream of the other one, and so he came up with his own dream. Maybe that was what it was. Maybe it was not. But whatever the case, God made a difference in the life of that butler and restored him. The Bible says, Pharaoh will lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. You're going to be restored back. May God restore us to our rightful places in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 42 and verse 25, the Bible says, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. This is Joseph relating to his brothers. They had brought money to buy groceries. But after they had purchased whatever it is that they purchased, the Bible says Joseph gave instruction, put their money back and give them extra. What kind of provision is this? This is the provision of you walking in the freedom of free. He said, what do you mean the freedom of free? If you got the stuff and they gave you your money back, it's free. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is the grace of restoration. God's restoration brings you into that territory where you receive things for free. Whatever it is that you are paying for, you say, don't worry about it, it's free. Wow, praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. So we can declare, Father, thank you for the restoration of my family. Thank you for the restoration of my status and place of influence. Thank you, Lord, for the restoration of that which you have ordained for me to have. Hallelujah. I'm walking in the divine grace of free. Praise God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible says, and they laid their asses with the corn and departed thence. Everything they needed was there. It was provided for. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 1. Exodus 22 and verse 1. The Bible begins to tell us about the restoration of things that were stolen. It says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox. Wow. You steal your ox, they pay 5 times for it. And 4 sheep for a sheep. Now, this is interesting to me. because I'm very interested in how God does his math and his calculations. An ox is more expensive than a sheep. And God says, five times. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You stole an ox? Five times replacement. Sheep? Four times. I'm thinking, God, why did you flip it that way? I would think five sheep and four ox. That might make sense to me. But God says, no, I want to make certain that nobody steals your stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. They take big, they pay big. Somebody shout hallelujah. I like this restoration stuff. Don't you like it? You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that God is saying to you and I, whoever has stolen that which you are using to produce an increase, stolen your business, stolen of your finances, stolen of your property, they must pay back in Jesus' mighty name. Now, in this particular passage, it doesn't say to us anything about catching particularly the person. It's assumed. But the point is, there is an enemy that we can sue. And this Rosh Hashanah, we are going to put a suit on the enemy of our souls because he must pay back whatever it is that he's stolen. Amen? It says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Because he's a thief. He was caught doing it. Now let's go a little bit deeper. The Bible says in Exodus 22 and verse 4, this is the stealing of property. It says, if the theft be certainly found in his hand, that's in the hand of the person that stole, if it is found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Ooh. He already told us five. Now he says he must restore double. That means 10 times. So what do you think we need to do? We need to identify the thief. The Bible already told us who the thief is. The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. And he was referencing the devil. But guess what else he was referencing? He was referencing false prophets. Oh. They got to pay back. What is the idea? Don't you start prophesying things that I didn't say. Because you're going to pay. Hello? It does not pay to say things that God did not say. It will always cost you. So you're going to pay double. Instead of double blessing, you get double trouble. What is the word of God getting at? He's simply saying, the devil and his activities are not allowed to penetrate into the area of your property. And if you feel that you have been stripped, stolen from, you have the right to demand justice. Praise God. Demand justice. Hallelujah. Let me leave that alone for a moment. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6 and verse 31, talking about stealing from property. Actually, let me take it from 29 coming up there. Watch this. He says, so he that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. This is about family again. But then it goes further and says, man do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. However, he says, but if he be found, if he's caught, he shall restore sevenfold. That's 700%. He shall give all the substance of his house. Everything that he has in his house, he will pay it. Guess what? At the end of this service tonight, we are going to drag the devil and his cohorts to the law courts of God. Amen? He must pay back. The Bible says, those that bless you will be blessed, but those that curse you will be cursed. It is part of Abrahamic blessing. Hallelujah. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, in this Rosh Hashanah that God has declared, this is a year of restoration, expect things to start coming back to you. Supernaturally, things are going to be falling into your plate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter whether the person is dead or is alive. You're going to get a payback in Jesus' mighty name, according to the word of God. I believe that we can bankrupt the devil. Hallelujah. He's going to have to pay back with souls. One of our cries to the Lord, many times in the past when we place the suit on the devil, is that he pays back with not only with resources, but with souls. So I'm not so surprised that 13,000 plus, how many people? 13,362 salvations in one meeting happened. Hallelujah. And we were not even there live. We preached from this pulpit, from this altar, via Zoom, and 13,362. That's the devil releasing whoever it is that he held captive. 8,979 miracles, healings. Wow. That is God saying to us, listen, I've not even started yet. Hallelujah. I've not even started yet. It is payback time. It is restoration time. Somebody shout hallelujah. The Bible tells us about a woman in the book of Kings, 2 Kings, who saw the prophet of God going by her house day in, whenever it is that he was coming by, and she'll run to him and says, prophet of God, can you please stay in my house? You don't need to go to the Hilton. You don't need to go to Ramada Inn. You don't need to go, you know, to the Sheraton. Just stay in my house. And the prophet will go to her house, and one day she decides, you know what? This man of God keeps on coming through here again and again. I'm going to build a penthouse for him. So she put a penthouse in place, furnished it, and the man of God asked his servant, Gehazi, says, what does this woman need? What does she need? Does she need me to talk to the king on her behalf. And the woman says, no, I don't need you talking to the king on my behalf. No, no. But how many of you know God is the God of the past, the present, and the future? So the prophet says, what does she need? And Gehazi says, I've not seen a child running around in this house. There's no children here. I says, oh, okay. A child she gets. So she gets a child. The barren woman has a child. The Bible says in 2 Kings 4:17, and the woman conceived and bore a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. But the Bible says that this child one day goes out with the dad, and all of a sudden he says, my head! My head! Dad, my head! My head! My head! And drops down. And dies. The gift of God, God gave to her because of her given record, because of her heart for the man of God to be a blessing to him, dies. And she comes and says, didn't I tell you not to make many promises? If you'd not bless me and proclaim this child to be born, I won't have to suffer this pain. Anyhow, the husband comes and tells her, and he says, take her, take this son of ours, take him to the bedroom of the prophet. When she was busy making up that bed, she did not know that she was creating a bed for her miracle of restoration. So the husband takes the child and puts the child on the bed, and she takes off. And she's going, and Elisha sees her coming and says to his servant, is that not that lady? He said, yeah, looks like her. He says, go find out what she's rushing and riding so furiously towards us for. Find out, because God didn't tell me what it is. So she comes and meets Gehazi, and Gehazi says, anything wrong? And he says, everything is perfectly okay. Why did she say that? This is key. Because if you want restoration in your life, you cannot, with your mouth, put an end to your miracle by saying that it is dead. Is somebody listening? Too many times we do not allow God to do what God needs to do. Even the Lord Jesus Christ did not say Lazarus was dead. He said Lazarus is asleep. Did he know that Lazarus was dead? Absolutely. But he says he's asleep. Let's go wake him up. Because it's easier to wake up a sleeping person than a dead person. How many of you will agree with that? How many times do we make things more difficult because of our unbelief? This woman says, it is well with the child. It is well. Now she comes to the prophet. The Bible says, and when she came to the man of God to the hill meaning he was at the height, at a higher level, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. and the Lord had hid it from me and had not told me. It's been my experience these 46 plus years that there are times that God will deliberately hide certain things from me, and I am clueless. But a great deal of the time before things happen, he tells me, this is coming up, this is coming up, this is happening, this is what's about to happen, this is what the agenda of the enemy is, you dislodge that, you dislodge that. But there are times when he tells me nothing. And that's where Elisha is. He knew nothing about what was happening. He says, the Lord hid it from me. Bible says, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I ask you for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Did you notice she did not say, my son is dead? She said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I ask you for a son? Did I not say, don't deceive me? In other words, the son you promised me is not there, but I'm not going to tell you that he's dead. Is somebody listening? Because there's a way to say what you need to say without saying, putting a death nail. So the man of God says, so Gehazi, go take my staff and go take care of it. But Gehazi couldn't. I'm not going to spend time on that at this point. So he went himself and he laid on that young man, and that young man was restored back to the mother and the father. In chapter 8 of 2 Kings, the prophet says to the woman, you know, leave town. Why do you want me to leave town? In chapter 8 and verse 1, he says, chapter 8 and verse 1, he says, then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had what? Restored to life. Some say restoration. The boy was alive, the boy died. But the boy also received restoration of life. Too many times, we put an end with our own mouth to that blessing that God has given to us because somebody tried to mess with it. No, God wants greater for you. God wants greater for me. Hallelujah. He says, Elisha says to her, arise and go thou and thine household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. Just go anywhere. No one tell you go there or go there. Anywhere you want to go, just go. For the Lord hath called for a famine. God called for a famine. God said, famine. And it shall come upon the land for 7 years. It's going to be 7 years of famine. So leave town. So the woman leaves town, and she goes to the land of the Philistines. And the Bible says, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land, because now she's gone 7 years. There are squatters in her property, and they don't want to leave. They've taken hold of that property and they say, this property belongs to us. We don't know you. So they are sitting, squatting on her property. I say in the name of Jesus, whatever is squatting in your property must leave your property now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Whatever is occupying the space God has ordained for you must leave. The Bible says God was the one through Elisha who told her to leave town. And now she has a problem. But the amazing and interesting thing, I don't have time to talk about this that much, was that Gehazi, in chapter 5, I believe it was, had contracted leprosy. He had been cursed by his boss, Elisha, because he became more materialistic in his thinking than operating in faith and was lying to his master, Elisha. And so he and his family were cursed with leprosy. However, the famine continues. The people of God are besieged. And one day, after a while, people are beginning to eat their own children, the Bible tells us. These guys, these lepers, were outside in the camp and they're saying to themselves, if we go into the city of Samaria, those guys might kill us and eat us. Those guys, they're eating anything now. But if we go to where the camp of the enemy is, they might just spare us. So let us go in that direction. Meanwhile, while they're doing that, Elisha proclaimed that the famine was over. The siege was over. Food was going to be plenteous. Hallelujah. So as these men were heading into territory of the enemy takes off. They start gathering stuff, all the treasures, and ding, 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 ding. Gehazi remembers, this was what I was doing, hiding stuff, and I ended up with leprosy. So he says, this is not a good thing. We've got to go tell the household of the king about the miracle that's happened here already. So they go back and they tell the king, and the king sends out some of his forces to check out whether this is for real, and so it was. Elisha says, there's going to be so much food. The right-hand man of the king says, even if God opens the heaven, if God just breaks everything loose, there's not going to be enough food for us to have the kind of price point you're talking about. And Elisha says, he's quick with his mouth. Elisha says, okay, you're going to see it, but you're going to die. That's the kind of man Elisha was. Some kids were messing around with him when he had received the double portion of the power of God, and he sentenced all of them to death. A bear came out and ate all of them. Bang! He was that kind of a guy. He would let me leave him alone for a moment. Start talking about Elisha. It is not going to be funny. So, anyhow, Gehazi and his family get healed from the leprosy. So when we come to chapter 8, the Bible says, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done. And so they are conversing, they're having this discussion, and verse 5. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king. for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My Lord, O King, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." What did Elisha say at the beginning? "Do you want me to talk to the king for you?" Now what the king, what the prophet said is now being made manifest. When you heard it for the first time, you'll be thinking, "Elisha, you missed it. You missed it, man. You missed it. This guy doesn't, this lady doesn't need anybody talking to her and talking on her behalf to the king." But the man of God sees way ahead. Sees it. And now, she was being spoken for. And the Bible says, and when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her. Watch this. The king appointed unto her. The king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, "Restore, restore, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land. Every harvest." Hallelujah. "Since she obeyed the instruction and left town, let everything be restored unto her even until now." Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Restoration. You never lose anything when you are obeying God. Hallelujah. Everything was restored. I declare in Jesus' name that everything that we've lost as we walked in obedience, preaching this gospel of the kingdom and not compromising in the word of God, that God will restore everything in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Sevenfold. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. No squatters in our portion. Hallelujah. 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 God is the God of restoration. God does not only restore families, status, relationships, restore that which was dead. Where Bible says in Psalm 51 and verse 12. Psalm 51 and verse 12. It says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Sometimes while you are walking with God, you can lose your joy because of a walk of sin or just the fact that it seems like same old, same old. Could be all kinds of stuff. But God's word declares that it's possible to have the restoration of the joy of your salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when I got saved, how freeing that was. And the joy that flooded my soul to know that God had forgiven me and I was a new creation. I still remember it so well. Weeks after, some of the workers in the ministry, associate ministers, were interviewing those that had accepted the Lord. And people were so just like they've been baptized in lemon juice and prune juice. And it was my turn, and I was so happy. And they said to me, "Hey, be serious." "We're not joking here." Because I was all bubbling. I'm saying, "What am I supposed to do? I'm forgiven. What? I'm supposed to be serious? I didn't know how to be serious about it. I just knew the joy of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're going to have a smile on your face when you know that God has forgiven you, that you're the redeemed of the Lord. And if you lose it at any point, just say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy what? Free spirit. That's a good word, free spirit. I mean, free spirit. Glory be to God. Anywhere I go, the blessing is there. Glory be to God. When you have that joy of the Lord, then God will use you to bring about restoration in the lives of other people. For the word of God says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be what? Converted unto thee. Amen. God, you're going to restore me so I can restore other people. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? That we have this relationship with God. In Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 22. We read these powerful words. He says, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. I see you. You robbed, and your stuff has been taken from you. You've been spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. God says, I see you. You've been robbed. You've been spoiled. You are snared in holes and you held in prison houses. You have been a prey and none delivered. Why? For a spoil and none saith what? Restore. Until you and I begin to say restoration, the word of God is very, very, very specific. You stay robbed, you stay spoiled, you stay snared, you stay hidden in prison. You'll be a prey that nobody delivers. But when you begin to say restoration, deliverance comes. Hallelujah. I say deliverance comes. Somebody shout restoration 7 times. Restoration, 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 restoration. I must be restored. Hallelujah. Restoration is what God has determined for me. If anything has been stolen, I demand restoration, sevenfold returns. If that which I'm using to show forth that which God has called me to do has been stolen, you steal one, you pay back 5 times. But now that I've identified you, you pay double. Hallelujah. That is a good deal. I say to the devil, you want to steal some? You want to steal anything here? Take it, because this is going to be the conduit for multiplied increase. Guess what the devil will do? Stay away. I don't want to pay. I'm not going to touch your stuff. Hallelujah. 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 My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. When we know what our rights are, the devil backs off. Glory be to God. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17, Jeremiah 30 and verse 17, the word of God says, for I will restore health unto thee and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, because they dared to mock you. This Zion, whom no man seeketh after, they said. He says, I tell you what is going to happen. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The captivity of Jacob's tents. The Bible tells us that Balak and Balaam, they saw the tents of Jacob, and they said, no amount of incantations, no amount of sorcery is going to affect these people, because our king is in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever the enemy has planned shall not work. Glory be to God. We need not be afraid of anything or anyone, because salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. In essence, God is saying, listen, they've been mocking you, but I'm going to surprise every single one of them. Because now you are not going to be few and you're not going to be small, because I'm the God who multiplies you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, there's so much more that I could share with you from that particular passage. But let's go to chapter 27 of Jeremiah and verse 22. We've learned that we need to declare restore. And that's how we break free from the lies of the enemy. We've learned that we can come with thanksgiving and God begins to bring about multiplication in our lives. But here I want you to see something. It says, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I, what? Visit them. They will be carried. They are in Babylon, but they're going to stay there until I do what? Visit them, said the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. The visitation of God brings an end to all of the shenanigans of the enemy. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, Lord, visit me. Hallelujah. Praise God. The word of God says in Luke, actually let me look at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6. There was famine in Bethlehem. Naomi and his husband and children had left town. The children got married in Moab. Their children, the two sons, died. And here, Ruth is left with two daughter-in-laws. But the word of God says, praise the Lord. Actually, let me take it up from verse 5 first. Ruth 1:5. It says, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. All the guys were dead. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard, in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had what? Visited his people in giving them bread. When God visits, there's restoration. The famine was over. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, Lord, visit me. Visit my family. Visit our church. Visit our community. Visit our country. And that will turn things around. The visitation of God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 21. Hannah had given the only son that she had to God. And she was back at square one, no children, for years. It's possible that Samuel is about 12 years old. She had no other child. Can you imagine what Penina would be doing? Say, look at you. You had a child by fluke, and you gave that child away. And now, there you go. Foolish woman. But year after year, she will go, and she will take new outfits to Samuel, bring her offering. She did not get bitter and say, God, I gave you what I had, and you've not done anything for me lately. She just kept on doing what she knew she should do. And one day, Prophet Eli says, wait a minute. Samuel is here. Where are your other children? She says, that's it? You mean you gave your only child that you were waiting for years to God and his purpose? Yeah. So the Bible says, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. Understand that Eli had his issues. He's going to die. In fact, Samuel is the one who's going to speak the prophetic statement about him. He's going to lose his children. And he is so fat from all the stuff that he's busy eating. And God uses this man that doesn't look like he has any anointing on his life. And the man says, the Lord give the seed of this woman for the loan which is lent unto the Lord. And they went home. And the Bible says, and the Lord, someone say, and the Lord visited Hannah. Wow. So that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. What changed it? The visitation of the Lord that was brought about by the blessing of a man. Be blessed in the name of the Most High God. Hallelujah. 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 The blessing of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, they make it rich. And no sorrow is added to it. The woman, by the blessing of Eli, caused him, or caused this couple, to have 3 sons and 2 daughters. Is that amazing? Just to receive the end of barrenness because of the visitation of the Lord. Somebody say, Lord, visit me and eradicate barrenness from my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. So I begin to wrap. He says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely what? Visit you. I'm going to die, but God is going to visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. What is the point? The point is God is going to bring about a restoration. God is going to move you from where you are. You may, when I die, end up as slaves here, but God is going to visit you and is going to take you out of the place of slavery and is going to bring you to the place he promised you. He promised your father. +400 years. A good segment of that, they were in slavery. This was their new identity. How are they going to be free? God says, I'm going to visit you. And I'm going to turn your story around. Because I'm going to restore you to where you belong. We declare, Lord, visit me and give me a new story, a new testimony, in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive this word, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The final statement I want to make this evening, we'll pray, is that God is a God who restores those that have sinned. And God says that we need to restore those that have gone wrong or done wrong with a spirit of meekness. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, it's messed up, ye which are spiritual, restore such and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The idea is this: don't be a smart aleck. You know, just coming up with judgment and, you know, smacking people over the head. Be careful. He says, gingerly restore the person that's messed up. Because if you don't, you might just be next. How many times have we seen people pointing the finger? And then they are next. What they were accusing other people of, they do. It is not because it was in them to do that. It's because they get defiled by taking a position they have no right to. God says, yes, somebody's messed up. Help them get back. Just help them get back. It's important. Just help them get back. Don't become so sanctimonious that you end it for them. You know, sometimes a broken bone, when it's healed, becomes stronger. One time, Paul himself says, John Mark, adios, bye. Don't want you here. You're just a flake and a granola bar. I don't want no granola bars with me. Out. Weren't you glad as Barnabas comes alongside and says, I see some flakiness in you, but God can do something with you. And at the end, Paul says, I don't have any better person than this dude. So, shh, 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 don't say too loud. You threw him away. Sometimes we throw people away. Husbands throw their wives away. Wives throw their husbands away. No good. And that which you thought was no good, somebody else is hanging around now, and you're saying, oh, did I make a mistake? Yes, you did. You were too fast hauling the person away, not seeking to bring about restoration, calling names, dragging down. And God says, don't do that. If I did that with you, you won't take the next breath. So don't be a smart aleck and act like you're all that. Because I know that you know that I know that you know that I know that you know you're not all that. So chill. Love people. Seek restoration in relationships. Bear ye one another's burdens, so you fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is a law of love. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Don't be so self-involved that you deceive yourself. Rise with me. Tomorrow night, we're going to do certain things as the Holy Spirit directs. Last night, we talked about restoration. As the Word of God came to us, tonight we've continued talking about restoration and the areas where God restores us and how God brings about that restoration. And the take away tonight is this, that you and I go back to the Word of God and see what areas God says there need to be restoration, and begin to proclaim that as yours, God, restore me. Restore my marriage, my family. Restore my property. Restore my relationships. Restore my status. Jabez says, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Let your hand rest upon me so that evil doesn't come my way. And God says, God did what Jabez asked for. I believe that God will do for us exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. Raise your hand before the Lord. Say, God, I need a refill. I need restoration. Father, in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me every area where I have been depleted, stolen from. Father, I receive your eternal word for restoration. I am blessed beyond measure because you have visited me. My barrenness is over. You visited me and my promotion is established. You visited me and my story is a new one. Blessed be your holy name. My health is restored. My peace is restored. My joy is restored. Finances restored. Everything to the overflow. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you. To God be the glory. This time, let us honor God with our giving. When we honor God with our giving, we position ourselves for restoration. We position ourselves for his multiplication. The God who says, listen, I'm going to shut their mouths. They've been mocking you. They've been saying all kinds of crazy stuff about you, talking about you, saying that you're nothing. He says, I am going to so increase you that you are not going to be few. I'm going to enlarge your coast. May God do unto us according to his word. Amen. Let us connect with him with our giving. He says, when we repent, he will give us his blessing. He will leave a blessing so that we have an offering. Hallelujah. So the sign that you are a giver is because you believe that God has blessed you already. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's so important. I don't give based on my income. In fact, if you looked at my giving and you try to determine my income by it, you'll be very wrong. I give by instruction. And there are times when God says, give this. And I'm saying, do you know something I don't know? Where is that coming from? Well, I learned, Lord, if you're asking me for this, then you must know it is there. So wherever it is, let it come to me. And guess what? Many times, there it comes, some interesting way, and I turn it over. There it is. Why? Because I believe God has his blessing on my life. Amen? I can trust him. Hallelujah. And he can trust me. Praise God. So let us all grow in our giving. Let's all grow. Because I've found out that when you learn to give, you are way ahead of those who don't. They may think they've got more stuff, but what they are spending $1,000 for, you are spending $10 for. You know, sometimes you might look at Mom and I and say, oh wow, they're always all dressed up. If I tell you how much we paid, one of your outfits is the price of three or four. Stuff turned off. Oh, communion. Okay. Somebody's demanding communion. Okay, I listen. We'll do communion together. Amen. Let us seal our gathering together tonight with this particular calling of God to share together in communion. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Did you know the blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest power that brings about restoration? Because of His blood, righteousness is restored unto us. Because of His blood, forgiveness is established. Because of His blood, we are reunited with the Most High God, our Heavenly Father, because of the blood. As we take of this body and take of this cup, may we receive complete restoration of everything that God has ordained already for us to experience. Take and eat of this body. Let the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, cleanse us all. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. And though they be as crimson, I shall make them white as wool. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. It says, come, let us reason together. That is God restoring our acumen, our connectivity, giving us access. Let us, as we take off this cup, have a restoration of access to our Heavenly Father. partake and drink in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shana Tova. May the Lord God Almighty bless you and increase you on every side. Good night. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Do I have